Okay, so you wanted to really get into it with Revelation, right? Like a real deep dive. Specifically those first few verses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they really set the stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's unearth, I guess, the foundation, this incredible book. And full disclosure, a lot of people find it pretty confusing.
For sure.
But luckily, we've got an expert here today who's going to walk us through all the twists and turns and help us unpack some of that historical baggage.
Well, I'll do my best.
And believe me, folks, we're going deep. We're tackling some really big questions today.
Yeah, we are.
Like, who is John even writing to in the first place?
Right.
And what does it even mean when the book says the time is near? Like, what time?
Yeah.
Near to what?
Mm.
Lots to uncover. So maybe we could just start with you giving us a little bit of a roadmap. Like, what makes Revelation so unique, even right from the get-go?
Well, one thing that really jumps out at me is how the book just starts. It's not a slow burn. It's a proclamation. From the first line, we're dealing with a direct message from Jesus himself, relayed by an angel to John. It's like, boom, here's the truth. Pay attention.
It's like a cosmic game of telephone, but with the highest possible stakes.
Oh, for sure.
You know, from God to Jesus, Jesus to the angel to John, and then finally John to us.
Exactly.
Whew. Okay, so this John guy, clearly a pretty important figure, right? I mean, who is he?
So traditionally, he's been seen as John the Apostle,
Okay.
you know, one of Jesus's closest disciples.
Right.
But not all scholars are totally convinced. There's some debate there.
Really?
Yeah. But one thing we can say with confidence is that John was definitely a major player in the early Christian movement. And something else to remember, he was likely exiled to the island of Patmos because of his faith. So that context is super important when we're trying to understand what he's writing about.
Okay, yeah. So let's dig into the message itself a little bit then. One thing that really stood out to me was the phrase future events that must soon take place. Soon is doing a lot of work there. What did soon mean for the people hearing this for the first time back then? And what does it mean for us now, reading it all these centuries later?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, for John's audience, remember, they were living under Roman rule, facing persecution. So for them, soon probably felt pretty, well, immediate, like things were about to happen right on the horizon. But for us, it might be more about recognizing that even though it was written a long time ago, the themes in Revelation, they still resonate. They still speak to us.
So is it like a comfort then, or a warning, or maybe both? Especially since it starts off with a blessing, right? Like good things will happen to you if you read this book and take it seriously.
That's right. That blessing, it really emphasizes how important it is to engage with this message, to
Yay.
hear it, to read it, to let it sink in. And then you've got the time is near, which adds that urgency. Like, don't wait around, get ready, because things are happening.
And those things, they would directly impact, as John writes, the seven churches in the province of Asia. Can you imagine receiving a letter like this? I mean, what would that have felt like for the original audience?
It's crucial to remember these churches, they weren't just ideas.
Right.
They were real communities, you know, with families, jobs, everyday struggles. And on top of that, they're facing real threats. So getting this revelation with its mix of promises and warnings, I imagine it would be a roller coaster,
Yeah.
a mix of hope and fear, probably. Maybe a renewed sense of purpose, too.
Yeah. And all of this comes straight from Jesus himself. I mean, he's described with some pretty powerful titles in these opening verses: Faithful Witness, Firstborn from the Dead, Ruler of the Kings of the Earth. What do these titles tell us about Jesus' role and his authority, especially back then?
Oh, they're packed with meaning.
Yeah.
Each title highlights a different facet of who Jesus is, what he represents. Faithful witness that speaks to his unwavering commitment to truth, even in the face of suffering. Then you have firstborn from the dead, which affirms his victory over death. He's the first to experience resurrection, you know, the prototype.
So in a world where death was the ultimate power, that would have been huge.
Absolutely. And then there's ruler of the kings of the earth. That's a bold statement,
It is.
asserting Jesus's ultimate authority over all earthly powers. For John's audience, living under Roman oppression, that would have been an incredibly powerful message.
Right. So it's not just about the afterlife, it's about power dynamics here and now.
Exactly. And it's a reminder for us today, too, that earthly power is temporary, fleeting. Christ's authority that's eternal.
A powerful message of hope and resilience, especially for those facing hardship or oppression. Okay, so we've got this image of Jesus, all these titles and this power, and then there's this idea of judgment and redemption and a new creation. How does that all tie together?
Well, Revelation really focuses on this arc, a story that moves from judgment to redemption to ultimately a new creation, and Jesus's sacrifice, his freeing us from our sins by his blood, that's central to the whole thing.
So this new creation,
okay,
what does that actually look like? Paint us a picture.
Think of a world totally transformed,
okay,
cleansed of all suffering and evil, where God lives directly with his people.
Wow.
It's a vision of ultimate hope, a
yeah.
promise that even though we go through trials in this life, there is a glorious future waiting for those who hold on to their faith.
So much to unpack. It feels like we've only just scratched the surface here.
It's true. Revelation is deep and it's multi-layered.
But even just looking at these first few verses, it's clear that there's so much going on here.
No.
All this symbolism, these powerful images, and some really deep theological ideas to grapple with.
Absolutely. So as you continue exploring Revelation on your own, just remember a few things. Keep the historical context in mind. Mm-hmm. Think about who the original audience was and what their lives were like.
And don't lose sight of the big picture.
Yeah.
The ultimate victory of good over evil. Revelation, it asks us to wrestle with some tough questions about
yeah.
faith, justice, the meaning of life, all that good stuff.
So as you dive deeper into Revelation, I want you to ask yourself, what will your interpretation reveal? What new insights will you find? This book isn't just about passive reading. It's about engaging, questioning, and figuring out your own place in this grand story.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
So until next time, happy reading. And maybe keep a notepad handy because, trust me, you're going to want to take notes.
Lots of layers to uncover.
Lots of layers.
Absolutely.